What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have been so immersed in football and paying attention to what's happening in LA and how the fires intersect with the world of sports. I completely forgot about the Australian Open getting underway. It's now into the third round for some of the athletes, and I forgot. That is, seriously, that is a testament to how all-encompassing football can be. And now with the expanded college football playoff, to have those 5 days and nights in a row featuring postseason games. And now coming up, while it's not as many nights in a row, we've got Saturday, Sunday, Monday with three more rounds, if you will, of football that demand all the attention. And then hearing what athletes have to say and other members of the sports world have to say and how they're managing and coping and navigating what is an extremely stressful and scary situation and still dangerous there in the LA Metro. Even more now, too, just was hearing from one of the American tennis players who's down under and who's competing, and his thoughts are of home and of his parents and family. And so we'll hear from Tristan Boyer a little bit later on. And also we're going to head to Los Angeles about an hour from now. It'll be midnight Pacific time. And we'll talk to Arash Marchese, who is started the Sporting Tribune a few years ago, but has been a member of the LA media covering the sports there, basketball, football, all of it for as long as I can remember. We crossed paths at a previous network, and he's entrenched there and was at the Lakers game as they returned on Monday night after a couple of postponements, but getting back to basketball. Also keeping track of the various sporting events that were put aside, that were postponed or suspended, and how the different sporting events and different sports themselves are managing with everything that's going on there. So I'm anxious to talk to him and to see how he's doing. And that's coming up in about an hour. Our friend Michael Duarte of NBC LA, I've been in touch with him, as well as Lindsay Rhodes. Her family is in LA. I know we all have, whether it's family, friends, colleagues, people that we've worked with in the past. LA is the number two market in the country when it comes to media. And when you talk about athletes too, the number of athletes that have certainly played in Los Angeles, but the number of athletes who either do business there or keep homes there, it's a way, in a way, intersecting pretty much every facet of not just life out there, but the sports world too. It is our middle show of the work week. We call it the hump show, and it's going to be one of those where I'm relieved when it's done because we're closer to the weekend. I know the weekends are right now work/football, but still, whew, I don't know what it is about getting back into this schedule after I was off it for a little bit. And of course, not having to commute for a couple of weeks, even though I was doing shows from the pillow fort at mom's house in Houston. I did never take a picture of that, by the way. I should have, so that you could see the pillows that were lining the walls to try to mute the sound and deaden the echo. A little trick I learned from an engineer here at our network. I forgot to take a picture. I took pictures of Flower because she was taking part in the shows, if you will, in some way when we started the new year. Latest story, this is really funny, though, about Flower. We have two dog beds in our home, which should be enough, right? Because we have two dogs, except my cat, Sugar, who is about to be 17. She of course, is the queen, and she has claimed one of the dog beds as her own. So we had gotten on Amazon and ordered a dog bed for the other dog. Who knows? They got to work it out, right? So a couple of nights when we first brought Flower home, she'd be on the dog bed, and then Daisy would be on it, and Flower would be on the floor and some blankets. So we went ahead and ordered another one so they could each have a bed and have an option. And then the cat decided she was going to take over one of the dog beds. And so now we have two dog beds, but one's being slept on by a cat all the time. So we're back to the whole situation with the one bed and the blankets. Anyway, when we were getting them all ready for bed, my husband was getting ready for bed, and I was getting my stuff ready for the night. We look over, and they're both on the dog bed. Now, it's pretty big. It's, I think, 30 by 42, maybe. But that seems a little long. 30 by 24, maybe? Something along those lines. And it's really comfortable, and it's got a almost like like an armrest, like a couch would have, except that it's all the way around. And so we look over and they're both on the dog bed. Now that didn't last very long. Then it was Daisy on the bed and Flower on the blankets. But about an hour later, it was Flower on the bed and Daisy on the blanket. So I don't know how they're going to work it out. I just know that Sugar has one all to herself, and the dogs at this point are sharing one. So let's hope that they're all sleeping soundly, because when we first got back after our trip to Texas, it was not an atmosphere conducive to sleep. The cat was yowling. Flower was still getting used to sleeping in a new place. We put her in her crate. That made her whine and bark. So that didn't last very long because she was waking up my husband. And so now they're both, well, all the pets are upstairs with him. The dogs are in our room. The cat has got her own room. And it's a zoo. I'm telling you, it's a zoo. So between that and just trying to get back on the schedule for both of us, oof, yep, the hump show, it feels like that. Faceplant right into the hump. It's after hump. Hours. Exactly. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence.
That hump.
We're glad to have you with us. I hope that it's not been as tough a reintegration for you. Maybe you slid right back into the schedule. Right. That's not the case with us. And that stupid light next door does not help either. My husband went to visit the town inspector late last week. And the guy, his name is Joe, took one look at Bob and said, "I've been on vacation for 2 weeks. I'm buried. I'll get to it soon." In other words, he's not made any more progress toward getting the neighbors to turn off their stupid light or to change their stupid light or just put a cover on their stupid light. It's now been shining for easily 5 months, easily. And I swear the guy would rather get thrown in jail than turn the light off just because he's spiteful. So we're still dealing with it. And when I left the house a little while ago, it's crazy. It not only lights up the entire backyard, it lights up our entire front yard too. Because it's obnoxious. So there, you don't have to ask. As part of Ask Amy Anything, which comes up on this edition of The Hump Show, you do not have to ask about the obnoxious light next door at the neighbor's house. It's still there. And actually, there's three of them. It's not just the one that's on the garage closest to our yard. There's also one on the front of his garage, and there's one on the back of his house, too. Not to mention the light that's on his front porch. So he's got the place lit up like he's digging for gold in the backyard. A quarry. Have you ever gone by a quarry where they do nighttime work and they've got these really, really bright lights so that they can continue working in the late hours? Uh-huh. That's pretty much what it is. I'm stunned, actually. I shouldn't even say this because I don't know if other neighbors have complained, but I do know that the inspector is on our side, and so we believe in him. We believe that at some point he's going to follow through and the neighbor is going to get thrown in security light jail. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4227 on our Facebook page as well as online at Amy After Hours. Either one of those options. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything because producer Pete will be following up And throughout the course of the next couple hours, we do the Ask Amy segment in our third hour. It's about as close to the middle point of the work week as we can get. Here's the thing. I'll just tell you right now, I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl. If that means I have less credibility in your mind, oh, well, so be it. Go listen to a different radio show and see if they tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Houston Oilers.
I don't have any idea, right? It's not going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what I know. Not this year. So don't ask me that. You're wasting your question. It's like a genie in a bottle, or I guess not a bottle. A genie in, are those teapots? What would you call those? The genie, remember Aladdin with the genie in a, what was it? It was a teapot,
lamp.
Right? It was a lamp?
Yeah.
What?
It shouldn't be a lamp, but it's like a bottle lamp.
It looks more like a teapot.
It does.
I guess it depends on what version of Aladdin you're watching, but a lamp, a genie in a lamp. Maybe because it had oil in it and they used to light it on fire.
that could be the case.
But where would it burn, though? Where would you see the light?
Probably up the top.
Huh. I'm going to have to research that. A genie in a lamp. So don't waste your wishes is what I'm saying. Don't waste your guesses, your questions, your opportunities to ask Amy anything by asking me who's going to win the Super Bowl, or questions that go a lot like this. Producer Pete, here's another one that I've seen pretty frequently. Does this team have a chance? I'm trying not to respond, duh. I mean, if you're in the playoffs, that means you have a chance. I don't understand the question.
Do the Chiefs have a chance? First time, long time.
Do the Chiefs have a chance? Do the Lions have a chance? Or my third least favorite question, is this team for real? Nope. They're fake. They're fakers. That's what they are. They're not real. Not in any way. Or now it's become really common to ask me whether or not Dion is going to be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You know what's really funny, too, is when people start posting their questions at Ask Amy, and then other listeners answer them for me. So they'll respond to the questions that maybe they have heard before, or they think that they have heard before. And so they'll answer the questions. So I guess that I don't need to answer the questions, but they'll answer the questions.
Now, it'd be more intriguing if they asked if the singer Dion would be the head coach of the Cowboys instead of Deion Sanders, which will be the hot topic for about
Dion Warwick. Are we talking about who are we talking about?
Yeah. Oh, there's a singer named Dion too, just solo.
Okay, I got to Google it.
Yeah.
I'm not super cool, but, so I don't know.
We'll go with Dion Warwick.
Warwick.
Yes.
American singer Dion Warwick. How old is she now?
I would have to say in the mid-80s.
Okay, let's look. This is kind of fun. Oh, I didn't know she went to the University of Hartford. Gosh, I worked there for years. She is... she was born in 1940. She'll be 85 this year.
Right on the button.
Well, she just turned 84.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's an American pop and rhythm and blues icon.
So if I was playing Price is Right, I would be over.
So what about the other singer named Dion?
I just heard of the guy.
It's
a guy, yeah.
D-I-O-N,
yes.
Dion. Not Deontay Johnson, who I think is available for the fourth team in 2024 to pick him up, if anyone's interested.
Jets has signed him.
Right? Let's see. Dion DiMucci.
Yes.
He's even older than Dion Warwick.
That's right.
I've not heard of Dion DiMucci.
Not by much, though.
Nope. He's Italian-American, born in the Bronx. All right. His very first band was Beginnings with the Belmonts. What a name. Wow. How did you know about this guy?
Well, working at a station a few years ago that dealt with music, you heard...
A radio station?
You heard names. You heard some names, and he was one of the names I heard.
Dion DiMucci. DiMucci, sounds like, probably. American singer and songwriter.
So if you ask us about Dion...
Down the rabbit hole we go. Yeah, we'll know nothing.
That he's not going to get the Cowboys job.
No, he's not. Neither is she.
All right.
Can you name one song from Dion without looking?
Dion Warwick, yes.
No. The other Dion.
That's what friends are for. I think. No, I have no idea. I just know the name.
This is what Wikipedia says about him. His music incorporates elements of doo-wop, pop, rock, R&B, folk, and blues. It's pretty much every genre of music there is.
So like Frankie Valli a bit. I would probably.
Okay. Well, sadly, I don't know either a Dion song or a Frankie Valli song, though I've at least heard of Frankie Valli. Wasn't he part of a band, though? Yeah, see.
Four Seasons? Oh, no.
This is before my time.
Let's not go down this
road. I feel
road.
Like this should be before your time, too.
Yeah, it is.
It's also before Carlos's time. Yeah, so this is not any of our areas of expertise, and we sound like idiots while we try to talk about it. But no, it's not that Dion. It's spelled completely differently. It's not that Dion. Maybe we should go back to Mike Tomlin. There's only one Mike Tomlin, right? Actually, usually, and this happens because we're on a planet of 7 billion people, names are repeated. There are even famous people. There are more than, for instance, there are two Amy Lawrences. I'm not the famous one. She's the more famous one. But she, believe it or not, works in sports as well. She covers soccer/football in the UK. How about that?
Oh, wow.
And she, now I don't know if this is still the case. Maybe she just got tired of directing them to me. But it used to happen all the time on the site formerly known as Twitter that people would follow her when they were looking for me. And they would send her messages, and she used to send them to me and say, oh, I think you're looking for this, blah, 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 blah. I think you're looking for this, blah, 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 blah. And so she would send, I think she just got tired of it. She probably blocked me. And the funny thing is she followed me for a while and then unfollowed me, I guess, because we don't talk about the same things online.
I thought she'd be a little friendly. I mean, she started off friendly and then...
Yeah, I think, like I said, off. I think she got tired. Maybe she was trolled by people who thought she was me. And yeah, maybe she decided that interaction was not something she was in for.
I know that there's a Peter Bellotti, an attorney somewhere.
Really?
Yep. He's out there.
Wow.
And there's Mike Bellotti.
Have you ever reached out to him? I would feel like Bellotti's a pretty common name. So is Pete.
Well, yeah. I don't know how many people are using Pete now for like new babies. But it's a common name, fairly common, I would think.
It is. Peter.
Right.
Yes. There was there was another Pete that was in the news on Tuesday. Not that we talk about politics. But yeah, there's plenty of Petes out there. Did you ever think about having a Pete Jr.?
I am Pete Jr.
Oh. Did you ever think about having Pete the Third?
Pete Jr. It came up, but then I know the paperwork that goes along with it that I've had to deal with.
Paperwork?
No, as a junior, like the difference between senior and junior and the paperwork that gets crossed up is you don't want to deal with it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, when we're talking about babies, did you grab that audio from Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick Mahomes and his wife Brittany just had their third baby, and how perfectly planned that it was during a bye week. What? Come on. I don't really believe in coincidence, but that's pretty impressive. So we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes as well as some of the others who are getting set for divisional weekend, like David Montgomery, who's back for the Lions. That's a great boost after we were told, I guess about a month ago, that he was out for the season because of an MCL injury, but his knee is good. He's happy to be back. Also, exit interviews with Mike Tomlin and Matt LaFleur as the Steelers and Packers exit. Of course, the coaching carousel continues to turn. And a little bit of basketball mixed in. But also, if you remember this from last week, if you happen to be listening to the show, Pete wasn't here at the time. It was Ryan who was doing the show. But I stumbled across this article, which I was desperate to share, but we didn't have time because there was so much football going on. TSA revealing the top unusual fines at airport security checkpoints in 2024. I was really wanting to share this list last week because it's going to make you laugh and also remind you that people are crazy, but I didn't have time last week. And so on this edition of After Hours, the craziest things that people tried to sneak through TSA security checkpoints in 2024. What not to do. So at A-Law Radio, coming up next, if you've not heard the candidates for TD of the Week, we'll let you hear them one more time. You got an hour left to vote at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. And of course, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Get a couple hours to do that. I still don't know. Not 2 hours from now, not then will I know who's going to win the Super Bowl. Hope you crushed your Tuesday. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the Week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Baltimore Ravens.
Jacksonville hands it off. Derrick Henry up the middle. He's in the 30, 20, leg race, gone! Touchdown, Derrick Henry! And they're going wild at M&T!
The Buffalo Bills.
Allen rolling out to his right, looking for somebody open. Nobody is. Has to throw it to the end zone for Ty Johnson, who makes a sliding catch in the end zone for a touchdown! Well, who would have expected that?
Washington Commanders.
Here's the snap. Daniels to throw for it. Backpedaling into the end zone.
What a play.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! 5-17! A clutch play in the lead!
Los Angeles Rams.
Donald against the rush. Blitz coming. He's hit. Ball down.
Scooped
up. Firing up. Phoenix got it. Jerry Burst has it. Down the right sideline with blockers. 10-5. The defensive rookie of the year with a scoop and score.
Some great candidates coming out of Wild Card Weekend. Obviously can't even get one touchdown from every winner because there were six games, but we picked four that we loved, and right now pretty brisk voting. In fact, the top two, the front runners, they are just separated by a mere 3.5 percentage points. So you can go ahead and you can cast your final votes over the next hour at Amy After Hours. It's pinned to the top of our show Twix account and then also at A-Law Radio. And there are others that you can vote for too. I generally try to vote for the one that gets the least number of votes, the least amount of traffic, because I just want to even the playing field a little bit. Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. Derrick Henry rumbles 44 yards with the exclamation point in the second half for the Ravens against the Steelers. Chris Brown on Bills Radio. Man, that Ty Johnson sliding catch to keep the ball and his feet off the turf so that it would still catch in the back of the end zone. Of course, the throw by Josh Allen was delicious. Also on Commanders Radio with Bram Weinstein, Terry McLaurin catching the go-ahead score following Baker Mayfield's fumble. Yet another moment for Terry McLaurin in this resurgent season and his first playoff win, along with a bunch of other Commanders, including his rookie QB, Jaden Daniels. And then we just saw it on Monday night. We were talking about it 24 hours ago. J.B. Long on Rams Radio, the rookie, a different rookie, Jared Verse, with the scoop and the score of the fumble by the Vikings. And so those are your options. And again, you can vote for the next hour on either Twix or on Facebook. 855-212-4227. As I mentioned, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll spend some time in L.A. with Arash Marchese, who is covering the sports world and its return to play after a brief halt in the LA area, I think partly by necessity, but also out of sensitivity and recognizing that there were more important uses of the resources there in the area. But even as the fires continue to burn and the containment, it's not 100% yet. And now more Santa Ana winds. I've even heard the description, potential hurricane force winds that could be blowing over the rest of this week. Still a lot of danger there. And people that I've spoken to in LA friends that I've spoken to in the area have called it surreal, devastating, scary, stressful, all of those types of words, all those types of descriptions and emotions. And of course, there are still evacuation orders. There are people who are on high alert for evacuations. My great college friend, she got the evacuation order at 1 o'clock in the morning when she had to leave with her daughters and her pets at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so as you can imagine, it's hard to have any type of peace or calm in the face of what's happening. You have to be ever vigilant now, and it's been going on for over a week. A couple dozen people have died. They're still looking for others, people who are missing. Really, again, scary situation, tragic and sad. And the videos and the photos don't even look real. It's like something you might see out of an Armageddon movie, the way that entire neighborhoods have been leveled. And so to watch it in 2025 in real time, because people have security cameras or just the advent of social media and cameras everywhere, it's a different feel because you're seeing these flames advance and you're seeing people lose their homes as it's happening, which is even more heartbreaking. And of course, as I mentioned, there are athletes who are from LA or who represent LA, maybe who play there now or played there in the past, and are making sure that people know, you know, people understand what's happening, but also that they want to try to bring some goodwill and some type of joy in the midst of all of this tragedy. One of those athletes is a 23-year-old. He's an Altadena native, and he's playing in his first Australian Open main draw, actually his first main draw at a Grand Slam, representing the United States. He graduated from Stanford and also trains in Brazil. So he's kind of an interesting story anyway. But Tristan Boyer, representing the USA, and he was talking about his family's situation as he was interviewed down under.
Crazy what's happening. I mean, I'm from Altadena. My dad had to evacuate our house. Luckily, it's okay. But we have, like, friends and family who are, you know, homeless now. It's really, really devastating to see. So yeah, I mean, obviously trying to, like, do what I need to do to prep and play tennis, but, you know, and control what I can control in this moment. But yeah, it's hard for sure. I just want to give people good news, you know. We have friends there and they're following me, so yeah, just want to do the best I can for them and hopefully it gets resolved quickly. I'm definitely extremely motivated to you know, kind of be something that people there can take their minds off of and say, you know, he's from here and he's doing, you know, playing his best for us. And so that's my goal. And that's definitely a motivating factor for sure.
Tristan Boyer being asked questions about his home, LA. He's an Altadena native, and his parents having to evacuate, and then thinking about playing tennis in the midst of all of that. And sometimes it can provide an escape, whether it's our type of work, whether it's playing basketball, playing football. We know the Rams, many of them, even as they have their families and their pets with them, are thinking about friends back home. And J.J. Redick, I mean, I saw some of his pregame comments from Monday before the Lakers tipped off in their first game, returning after a couple of games that were suspended. And he actually said in the press room, and I can't repeat it verbatim because he used a swear word, but I have to coach a game in an hour. It's as in, this is, I'm kind of dumbfounded. This is overwhelming. There was a reporter that asked him a question, kind of how he's doing and the emotions of it all. And his message was essentially like, I can't be reacting to this. I've got to coach a bleeping game in an hour. So there's, as you can imagine, more mental toughness than maybe they've experienced at any other point in their careers. But there, it's more than that. It's about having to put aside your fears, your anxieties, the stress. I mean, last week before he and his family lost their home, he was talking about how nervous his wife was and his sister, or his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, and just how hard this was on the kids. And now still having to be in a very public space coaching a basketball team. And how do you navigate those two things? It just, it's can feel impossible, and yet work can provide a little bit of an escape so that you're thinking about something other than these anxieties and these stresses and this fear. But at the same time, the second you're done, oh, it comes flooding back at you, to be sure. At A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page as well. Coming up, Patrick Mahomes talks about being a daddy again. Mike Tomlin responds to questions about his coaching status. And in the aftermath of the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy parting ways, Micah Parsons weighs in. Remember, he found himself in the middle of controversy earlier in the season. 855-212-4227. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We'll do that a couple hours from now here on The Hump Show. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, a riddle sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto both have in common? Progressive protects them both. Easy riddle. Learn more at Progressive.com. Despite not winning a playoff game since the 2016 season, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin said the franchise does not feel stuck, but Tomlin does understand the pressure.
I enjoy the urgency that comes with what I do and what we do. I don't make excuses for failure. I own it, but I also feel like I'm capable.
To any team that might try to trade for Tomlin, he says, save your time. A former Steeler receiver, Deontay Johnson, was waived by the Texans days after their playoff win over the Chargers. Johnson reportedly sulked in an otherwise celebratory postgame locker room. The Texans move on without him as they head to Kansas City on Saturday. The Lions hope to have running back David Montgomery back. Montgomery missed their last three games with a right MCL injury, but he was a full participant in a walkthrough practice on Tuesday. NBA, just as the Mavericks get Kyrie Irving back after a five-game absence, center Derek Lively sprains his right ankle less than 4 minutes into a game with the Nuggets. Things did not get better from there. They're blown out 118-99. Jamal Murray leading the way with 45 points for Denver. The Cavaliers improving to 34-5 with a 127-117 win over the Pacers. The Thunder right there with them at 33-6 after winning in Philadelphia by 16. Big night for the Hawks' Trae Young.
Trey, three-pointer. Bang! That is Trey Young, folks. He has a knack for that kind of thing. It's 117-109, the Hawks lead.
Hawks radio, Young scoring 43 points in a win over the Suns. Pelicans top the Bulls by 6. The Bucks with a 15-point win over the Kings. Giannis registering a triple-double there. And the Nets beat the Blazers. Multiple upsets of top five teams in men's hoops. Number 4, Alabama loses at home to Ole Miss. Number 5, Florida falls to unranked Missouri. I'm Pete McCarthy.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Back on the field. He'll line up to the left of the formation, just off the left tackle. Two receivers right. Kareem Hunt is the running back. Mahomes moves Kelce in motion to the right of the offensive line. And the snap. Belt high. Back to throw. Mahomes rolling right. Looking downfield. Lets it fly to the end zone. Wide open. Travis Kelce has a touchdown, Kansas City. It's a 12-yard score. And Kelce dunks the football on the goalpost. It's a Christmas Day score for Kelce, and the Chiefs extend the lead. It's 28-10 with 12:38 to play in the fourth.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It feels like that long since we've seen the Kansas City Chiefs, especially with their starters, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and others. Not only did they have the bye as the top seed in the AFC, but they also took a good portion of week 18 to rest and to watch and to make sure they're good to go as they launch into the playoffs, needing just one win to get back into the AFC Championship, which of course they would host at their place at Arrowhead Stadium. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's the call from Christmas Day and Westwood One. I think this is stunning, maybe miraculous, but Patrick Mahomes and his wife, Brittany, welcome their third baby, and they do it the Monday of their bye week. How is that possible that they planned it that perfectly? Except they didn't, because she was due on the Sunday. Actually, maybe they did have the baby on Sunday. I have to go back and look. She was due over the weekend, and if she didn't have their baby girl, instead they were going to induce on Monday. So either way, they wanted to make sure she had the baby and didn't go too long. So Patrick Mahomes was back at the facilities on Tuesday talking about being a daddy again.
It's been cool to welcome another baby girl in our family and see how my other kids react to her and having baby sissy and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun, and it was cool that football was on TV when I was in the hospital, so I got to watch a little bit. And so Brittany was kind enough to let us watch football as she was getting ready to give birth to our second daughter.
With it being your third time around, you feel like it's become easier for you to manage, you know, football and family life?
I mean, I don't even want to say that because, like, it's Brittany's doing everything, so I'm just trying to be supportive. So, no, it was cool that we got the bye, just because you can kind of really focus in on just being at the hospital, being in the moment, and it's a special moment that I know a lot of dads and moms have experienced, and you don't forget about that stuff. So I was glad I was able to be there and support in the best way I can.
Congratulations to Patrick and Brittany, as well as their other two kiddos. And yes, she was induced on Monday. So while they were in the hospital waiting, they were watching football. And a couple of times in his comments, Patrick said, Brittany crushed it. Brittany's doing all the work. If you haven't seen the Instagram photo that she shared, or I guess it's a joint account, how cute is that, that they shared, it's a pretty sweet photo. It's their hands over the new little girl's, they're holding her legs, but you can only see her little bitty feet. Oh my gosh, they're so tiny. And so they've got a brand new girl to add, and her name is Golden Ray. And I know that Patrick had said in the past that three was it, that he was done at three kids, but they have Sterling, Bronze, and now Golden Ray. So that's awesome. Congratulations to them. But I'm blown away that it happened during the bye week. I guess it was extra motivation. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Good to have you with us on this hump show, middle show of the work week. So the Chiefs, the Lions, those are the one seeds. They're back in action hosting games on Saturday. The two seeds are hosting games on Sunday. Meanwhile, the rest of the NFL is working on offseason business, and that includes a half dozen teams that need head coaches, not to mention the rest of their coaching staffs, right? So it's not like you hire the one head coach and that's it, you're good to go. It's a little bit like a president who then has to fill out a cabinet and an entire administration of people who work with him. I mean, that's what happens when you're a head coach. Maybe the front office is changing, maybe not, but you've got to fill out your staff. You've got to fill out different staff positions that are supporting the head coach. By the way, one of the things I've heard about Dallas is that Mike McCarthy wanted to add coaches, because a lot of NFL teams have got a ton of coaches, right? He wanted to add coaches, but Jerry Jones doesn't want to spend more money on the coaching position. And Mike was paid middle of the road in terms of the NFL and coaching salaries. He was, and I don't want to say only single digits when it comes to the millions, because I know that sounds ridiculous, but when you consider how much money these NFL teams are making, he was not in double digits in terms of his millions. So there are a lot of coaches that are making $10, $11, $12 million. He was making something around $7 million. Again, that's obscene amounts of money for the vast majority of Americans. But in the NFL world, where you've got quarterbacks who are making $50 and $60 million a year, to have a coach make proportionately less, and to have Jerry Jones, who is probably the richest NFL owner, at least in terms of his NFL properties, the Cowboys are valued as one of the most expensive, most lucrative sports franchises in all of sports, not just in the NFL. It's not like he's hurting for money. And so to have money be a sticking point with your head coach, you want to talk about stingy and miserly. And how about you... you can expect that if you're going to scrimp and save pennies on your coach, then that's one reason why you might not be a winning franchise, why you haven't won a Super Bowl in nearly 30 years. Micah Parsons has his podcast on the Bleacher Report, and he made his first comments on Monday, Tuesday, about Mike McCarthy.
It is devastating. You know, Coach Mike's a great father, coach, one of the most winningest coaches. And, you know, he's always been good to us as a unit, us to the coaches, players. So, you know, losing a great coach like Mike hurts. But it's going to be very interesting offseason. You know, it's going to be very interesting, you know, due to the free agents, the coaching. It's like, you know, it's going to be a complete reset. So it's going to be a very interesting and challenging offseason. But listen, I already know I trust my owner. I trust our GM. I trust Will McClay that we're going to make the right decisions.
Are you going to pay to make the right decisions? I believe that the Cowboys could hire a lot of coaches that could be difference makers. I believe that the Cowboys, had they started at the same time as the other franchises, could have their pick of the litter, if you will. But that's not the situation that they're in now, right? It's not the same thing. It's a franchise that's got a reputation with a meddling owner slash GM. And that's one of the questions, at least about Deion Sanders. Would he be willing, if this is even real, would he be willing to give up some of the control because Jerry Jones needs to be micromanaging? I mean, I could tell you if it were me, I wouldn't work for a boss that micromanaged and told me what to talk about or how to talk about it, or was deciding he or she needed to be involved in every single detail of how I prepared and how I hosted a show. That wouldn't fly with me, not with all the experience I have. And I can imagine there are coaches where it wouldn't fly either. Jay is listening in Cleveland. Jay, go ahead. You got about 2 minutes.
Okay, so I've got a two-part question, but before that, I got to give you a little grief because Jack Sawyer had the best touchdown of the past week. I don't know how that is in headline news, but I know you're keeping in the NFL. So I'm going to get to my question real quick. It's a two-parter for my Browns. If we don't go with a quarterback, first off, what should we do with the second pick? And if we don't go for a quarterback, if we don't trade for a quarterback, what do we do with Myles Garrett? You know, do we trade him away or do we keep him and hope that 2026 is going to produce something for us? And I'm going to hop off and just let you talk.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Yeah. Thanks so much. Be safe. Good to hear from you. The quarterback question is one that I would say this. Don't draft a quarterback unless you're sure he's the man for your franchise, right? Don't just draft a quarterback because you need a quarterback and you think this guy might be the answer, or because he's cheaper. Find a quarterback that you think fits what you want to do. And for Kevin Stefanski, for his new offensive staff, make sure you find a guy that you believe can thrive in your system, that you believe can be the perfect fit. Don't just draft a QB to draft a QB. And as for Myles Garrett, this is just me, so I can't speak for Andrew Berry, but there is no chance that I would trade Myles Garrett. If Garrett wants to be there, And thinking about the fact that he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL, that they just made the playoffs a year ago. I know he was hurt a lot of this season, but they just made the playoffs a year ago despite having five different QBs start for them. I just don't think they're that far off. And the AFC North, it's a battle. It changes hands at the top a lot. I say the Browns are not that far away. Quarterback is obviously the issue they need to address. Offensive line is right there too. But Myles Garrett's a cornerstone piece, so I'd keep him if he still wants to be there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.